Greetings, everyone. This is Brett Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity today. This is number 4, and who and what do you worship? Human beings are given to worship. However, how many really worship the true God? Do you know the true God? Do you understand the God of the Bible? Do you understand the Word of God? When was the last time you seriously read your Bible? When was the last time that you truly honored God? Now, the Bible shows that God has made everything, the heavens and the earth, and all people and all animals and all birds and all fish and everything that there is. And yet he's given man independent, free moral agency, and man must choose. What will you do? Will you worship God? And if you do, will you do it his way? Or, like the atheist, they don't believe in God. And so they literally end up worshiping their theories and other experts in their field. And yet they don't think they're worshiping anything. And also, as we have seen in segment number 1, the world is worshiping Satan the devil. And there are many, many, many degrees of that Satan encroachment into the worship of God. Now, the simplest way to understand this is that God says, "You shall have no other gods before me." So let's come to Exodus 20, and let's read the first 2 commandments here, because this tells us who we are to worship and what we are not to do. And by telling us what we are not to do, that also tells us what to do. Exodus 20, verse 1. "And God spoke all these words, saying," a little sidebar here. A lot of people say, well, that's the law of Moses. What you need to understand is this: it is the law of God through Moses. You cannot find one law in the first 5 books of the Bible where Moses said, "I say this," which is any different from what God told him to say. So the first excuse of dismissing it and saying, well, that's the Old Testament, and Moses spoke it, and it was written by men. Well, we've already covered that. Holy, faithful men wrote as they were instructed by God to write. So here's what God spoke. Now, he spoke this to all the children of Israel that had previously come out of Egypt, and they were all around the base of Mount Sinai, and God came down on top of the mountain, and there was thunder and lightning and smoke and fire and a great whirlwind. And then he spoke to these words. All the people heard the voice of God. And you would think, if you heard the voice of God, would you not, that, yea, you would do what God says. However, independent free moral agency, choosing whether you will or will not love and obey God, is up to each individual. So let's read the first commandment, verse 2. "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Well, people will say, well, we're not in Egypt. And like the Jews in Jesus' day said, well, we're not in bondage to anyone, when the Romans were occupying their country. And the truth of the matter is this, 95 to 99% of all the religions in the world have come from Egypt to Babylon, Persia, handed down to Greece, Rome, and very few people understand that. Because today, to be politically correct, all religions are equal. But from God's point of view, there's only one way, and that is His way. And that is not a religion, it is a way of life. So if you know the true God, you have come out of the bondage of this world, out of the bondage of Satan the devil. Now notice what else he says here. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me, because men invent gods, create gods to their own liking. God says, you shall have no other gods before me, none. Now we're going to see that even includes your own personal thought. See, God is not a weak, impotent God, just gone off into the universe and twiddling his thumb someplace and just leaving the world and man and everything in it to go their own way. No, he's directly involved in everything that goes on. So the first commandment is verses 2 and 3, and that contains an awful lot and sets the stage for the second commandment, which is beginning in verse 4. You shall not make for yourselves any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heavens above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters under the earth. First half, you're not to make it. Second half, you shall not bow yourself down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of those that hate me. I want you to look at the last four words there. Those that hate me. When people hate God, they have many idols. And people wonder why. Why doesn't God stop this catastrophe or stop this event? Because of free moral agency. If you want to have idols, if you want to have other gods, if you want to go your own way, you can choose to do it. But know for sure, just like the law of gravity, there are blessings and cursings that come. And as you can see by this, it affects not only you, but also your children and their children. Because if you have people who literally hate the true God, reject Him, despise Him, have their own religion, have their own gods, have their own statues, their own religious paraphernalia, then this will happen. Look at the world today. Ask yourself the question, how blessed is the world today? How peaceful is the world today? And as we will see, the number one major cause is the choice of men and their man-made religions inspired by Satan the devil. And that's how people end up worshiping the devil. However, notice verse 6, because what it says, as we will see, is exactly what the New Testament teaches when you come to understand it properly. Verse 6, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. So there is the test. All right. Now let's think on this for just a minute. If you make any idol, any image, any graven thing, and call that your God, or someone else makes it, and you buy it, and you bow yourself down before it, are you not committing idolatry? Think on that. Now, I remember one time when I was on Religion on the Line in Los Angeles, probably, 45 years ago or more. And I was the Protestant minister at that time, but though we're not Protestant, and they had a Jewish rabbi and a Catholic priest. And someone called in and said, why do the Catholics have all of these idols and statues and crucifixes and all of these signs and symbols and things that they do? And you bow down and worship them, the priest said. Oh, we don't worship them. We venerate them. There is absolutely no difference. Okay? And the key is this. God said, you shall not make. So why do they profess to represent the God who created heaven and earth and represent Jesus Christ, the Savior of mankind, and have idols and statues and candles filling every one of their cathedrals, and in particularly St. Peter's Basilica? Now, if you want a real understanding here, a little sidebar, we've got a whole series right here at Church at Home. Was Peter ever in Rome? And the long and the short is, no, he was never in Rome. Now, what does that say about that religion? Combine it all together, thoroughly search it out, you're going to find some very interesting things indeed. Now, let's look at some idols that people do not think they're idols. An idol can be anything that you make or that you're obsessed with and you give all of your attention to it and you do not worship the true God, you do not keep his commandments, and you do not love him, then whatever that is an idol and a god between you and the true God. Now let's look at some of the activities that there are in the world today. Let's start with sports. And sports teams, whatever kind of sport, well today, you can get jackets, you can get banners, you can get authentic fan flags, you can wear the colors, you can talk about it, and the real authentic fans become very obsessed with it. And the players become mini gods. And the one who's the star is the great person. Now, in football and basketball and baseball, there have been many of those stars, correct?
I'm a diehard Cowboy fan. I live and die Dallas Cowboys. I love my boys. I got Roger Staubach here. I will do anything for my boys. I'm still not finished because I got more to do on my head and on my legs.
The depth of his love cannot be questioned. I mean, it's all there to see in black and white and blue and ink. Tattoo Mark, thanks so much.
Thank you very much. Go Cowboys, baby. We're going to do it this year.
Yeah. I have nothing to top that. Back to you.
How about entertainment?
I'm real.
I literally love you so much.
You have movie stars, television stars, you have rock stars, you have rap stars, and whatever else there is in entertainment. How about all of the little games that people play? How about the media, television, soap operas? How about your own personal behavior? Now, we've got a whole series on obsessed with sex. Are people today worshiping sex because that is on their minds and their activities? Well, you know that's true. What do they use on commercials to sell things? The best way to sell something is to have a good-looking woman there. Then we have religions, and all religions have some kind of idolatry. Now, idolatry can also be using God's time for your own practices and living. Well, how can I use God's time? Well, the fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath, and that's the seventh day, beginning at Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. What do you do on that day? Are you stealing from God? Now, that's a special day because God puts his presence in that day for those who love him and keep his commandments and study his word, and they grow in grace and knowledge. How about any of your material possessions? How about your jobs? Think on that. Are people obsessed with what they do? Now, there's a very interesting ad that is put out by a bank where they have this woman who has her business and she uses their card because she gets 2% back on all purchases. And she says, well, I have built my business. Okay, here she is. She has her business. She's doing this. She's doing well. She's successful. And what is the major product of her company? The great fiery dragon.
That's huge for my bottom line. What's in your wallet?
What does the Bible say about who that fiery dragon is? Now think about this. Helping to set the stage to worship Satan the devil, because Satan the devil is depicted as a fiery dragon. Let's come back here to 2 Timothy, the third chapter, and let's see what Paul writes about how people would behave in the last days, and how this actually ends up being using your free, independent moral agency to go against God. Now stop and think for a minute. Everything about you, God has created. Everything in the world, God has made and created and fashioned. He gives you breath. He gives you every drop of water, every morsel of food. And Paul wrote that we live and move and have our being in him. Whether you're righteous or whether you're wicked. So it gets down to independent free moral agency. If you want an acronym for that, that is IFMA, I-F-M-A, independent free moral agency. Now here's what happens. When a society develops in the way that we have developed, and we pride ourselves on being the most sophisticated, the most developed of any civilization the world has ever seen. And that probably is true. So let's read it here, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, narcissist. They love themselves, worship themselves, worship their theories, worship their minds, worship, as we will see, the things that they make with their own hands. Lovers of money, yes, driven, Money, gotta make money. And how many people add to that? Stealing, lying, cheating, taking, abusing, overspending, going in debt. Braggarts, proud, blasphemers, how dare God tell me what to do? Disobedient to parents. Wow, is that not true today? Yes, indeed. Unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable slanderers without self-control, savage despisers of those who are good, betrayers, reckless, egotistical, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Now that's something, isn't it? This is a perfect description of idolatry. A perfect description of who and what people worship and what their lives are like. Now, how did men get themselves in this predicament? Well, let's come to Romans, the first chapter. Let's see that it is based upon the wrong choices. That men choose to change the Word of God. Men choose to neglect the Word of God. Men choose to create their own religions. Men choose to worship their own scientific endeavors. Men choose to live sinful lives. So let's read it. Indeed, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness, and that includes idolatry. Now, how does the wrath of God come? He doesn't come down here and do it directly. He uses other people. And that will help you understand why we have so much trouble today. But most men and women don't stop and think, I wonder if this is correction from God. Wonder why these things are happening. Oh, they ask the question why it's happening. But they don't know what to do. They don't know the cause. They don't know the source. They don't know how to stop it. Terrorism. Will we ever have enough police? Will we ever have enough snoopers online and with phones and with letters and with conduct to stop the terrorist? Very few ask why. There are terrorists. Well, we've covered that. We have a series, Why Terrorism. You go right on Church at Home and you listen to it, and it's going to surprise you. Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Now, what does that mean? Means this. Beginning with the religious leaders who have the Bible and say we are God's representatives, but are not. See, the truth of God is succinctly defined in the Ten Commandments. And if you analyze those ten, as I've said many, many times over, you will find out what is wrong with this world. And if you look at all the Ten Commandments, you will understand very clearly that all ten are being broken with impunity. Yes, with strength and with power and with zeal to go against God. And they don't realize it, that they're ending up worshiping Satan, the devil. Now, we have some booklets and books that you need. The first one you need is, Why is Christianity Failing Today? Now that's a powerful booklet that we have, and you need to understand that because that helps define what the problem is and how you can come out from underneath that. Then follow that up with the other book that we have, Lord, What Should I Do? Is your life mixed up, messed up? You have troubles and difficulties and problems that you don't know how to solve? Well, you better find out what you should do. What does God tell you to do? You have free moral agency, but you have used your free moral agency against God. Now, what do you need to do to choose so you can come out from underneath that? And this is why the world and the lives of people are in really terrible messes today, with sex, with drugs, with murder, with robbery, with all of the evils of human nature. And all of those become idols. And breaking the first commandment and the second commandment and all the rest of the ten. So who and what do you worship? That's a question you need to answer. Because you have God's way on one side and Satan's way on the other side. What will you do? What will you choose? Who or what will you worship? Once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.